This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money on a Thursday into week 14. Somich, Maher, and you, wherever you download. Don't forget, VSiN's got it great. I mean, this is $60 through May 1st, so you get Masters, March Madness, obviously all the NFL, everything. Go educate yourself, VSiN.com/subscribe. $60, they're never going to have something that low again, so check it out. Somich, I'll start here because we're going to end with our Thursday night game. One, it's the best game in the history of Prime, so Amazon's going to be fired up. And two, you could argue it is, and I'm not saying this in a hyperbolic sense, it's the biggest regular season game in the history of the Detroit Lions for a multitude of reasons, which I'll talk about more extensively on Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight. But it is, I mean, it's an elimination game for both the Cowboys and the Lions tonight, essentially. Reckoning day is upon us.
It is. We've got quite a few bangers on the week 14 schedule. Obviously that Lions Cowboys game is very meaningful toward the playoff race. The Jags Colts game, incredibly meaningful in the AFC South as well as the playoff race. The Texans Chiefs kind of feels like an elimination game on Sunday night. We've got the Bears Packers on the slate. It's a very, very fun week 14. And all the chaos that we've gotten up until this point has really made this transpire to an incredibly important week 14 as well. When you looked at the schedule, you didn't expect that. But here we are, right. Week 14, absolute banger.
Yeah, it's a banger. And by the way, we're often asked, like, is the NFL the most heavily bet sport? There's really no second. To be fair, it's the NFL, college football, and then the chasm to everything else is wild. I bring that up because did you see what happened on Thanksgiving? First off, we had three great games. And then secondly, the Packers-Lions rated at 47.7 million viewers, and the Chiefs-Cowboys ended up being the most watched regular season football game in the history of the NFL, 57.2 million viewers and peaked at 61 million. The league is doing well.
Yeah, it's doing okay. It's doing okay. I got to say, though, a little bit of a benefit being on Thanksgiving because we're all with our families, which some people really enjoy. But some people also enjoy the escapism that you can get from being able to throw a football game up there. I was at my family gathering, and I'm not going to lie, there's an awkward moment. You just kind of go over and watch the football game, and then you walk back into a conversation afterward.
There will be books written about Somich's Thanksgiving this year. I know him well. That was a lot for the big guy. Let me just say this as
well.
Wow,
a big guy reference. So you're manifesting me into Sweetelson here?
Take it easy, wet blanket. Because you just said, well, it's background noise, the game's being on Thanksgiving. Well, let me ask you this. If there were three NBA games, what would they rate?
No. The conversations are the background noise, not the games. The games are the front forward noise, and that's where you kind of go to escape out of everything. Just look at NBA and Christmas, right? One of their biggest days all year where they get that opportunity where it's like, hey, you can escape your family, watch these basketball games. We're going to put our marquee teams, marquee stars on every year, yet they'll get 1/10 the viewership that we saw the NFL get on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. I only bring up the NBA on Thanksgiving because, you know, they'd get 5-7 million. We're talking close to 60 million. There's 350 million people in this dumb country. I mean, it's a great country. Let's get to the games.
But let's be honest. The NFL got a little lucky here, too, though. I mean, we haven't had a slate like that on Thanksgiving in a very, very long time, where it was three interesting to extremely interesting games, two of them very relevant toward the playoff chase, and the third one at night with the Bengals and Burrow coming back and Lamar. The storylines left, right, and center for that one as well.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So we'll get to Dallas and Detroit to end it. These numbers have baked, so let's get to them. 121, Washington is at Minnesota if you're a psychopath and really like football. Minnesota is laying 1.5. Looks like we've dipped a little bit from our program on Sunday.
Yeah, we saw this market open around 2.5, and I agree with the money coming in on the Commanders. We don't know who's going to play quarterback yet, Jaden Daniels, or if it's going to be a Mariota again for this Washington team. But I will tell you this, Patrick. No matter who's under center, they will be the best quarterback in this football game, as you're either going to get McCarthy or Brosmer on the other side. Now, the best unit is going to be the Minnesota defense, but the big weakness of this Commanders team is that defense. I'm not sure Minnesota is going to be able to take advantage of it. I haven't bet a side or total here. I am going to be using the Commanders and teasers, though. Good luck to the Minnesota Vikings covering 7.5 or 8 points, depending on where you can get that teaser leg at. I don't even know if they're going to score 8 points in this game, Patrick.
Yeah, no, I agree there. I actually do like Washington. That was a spirited second half from them in primetime. And Mariota was great in the game against Denver. Great. I will take the points.
Getting healthy on the offensive side right now as well. This is a Commanders team that's been banged up for a long time. No Terry McLaurin. You had Debo in and out. Ertz is fully healthy. The running game seems to be figuring itself out with Rodriguez back there. So all the pieces in place for this offense to have success against a Flores blitz-happy defense. It's just a question of can the Vikings move the football? And based on the results that we have through 13 weeks, the resounding answer to that is no.
Yeah, no, 100%. 123, Miami's at the Jets. This is going to be an official play for me. I love your Dolphins here.
What?
Yeah, I do.
What?
I do. They're not mathematically out of it.
Oh,
they're
boy.
Just, the Jet, you know, the Jets do things special teams-wise that kind of keep them around. But I think 2.5, you can find a 2.5. I think that's a tremendous price for a Miami team that's spirited as well.
Look, I get it. I understand. You know, Mike McDaniel kind of looks like a DJ. You in a different life probably could have been a DJ with that long
Thank
hair
you.
And the little scruff there going. I could see you pulling it off. Maybe you and Mike McDaniel, little kindred spirits there, because
Thank
apparently
you.
You've forgotten that it is December and that New York is outdoors and it is not warm. And when this Dolphins team has traveled to cold weather, it hasn't gone wonderfully for them. Give me the Jets plus the 3 points here. Let's go a little head-to-head action on Sharp Money. I loved it. Look, this Jets team also been spirited. Nice comeback win against the Falcons team last week. Tyrod Taylor, well, you know, not the best quarterback in the NFL. Clearly the best quarterback on that football team, able to pass the ball. And I'm going to be the A.D. Mitchell stan. I bet his props the last 2 weeks. I'm going to bet A.D. Mitchell's props again this week. He's at 46.5. Give me the over on the reception yards. He got 12 targets last game, Patrick, getting a 30% usage in this offense. I think this passing attack for the Jets actually has a pretty good day against the Dolphins team that is not going to want to be outside because it's going to be sub 40 degrees there in New York.
Underrated element of that trade for Sauce, right? Not
Definitely.
Only the two first-rounders, but a really serviceable wide receiver coming back. The Jets fleeced them.
Obviously, the Sauce injury, terrible for them as well. Could
have been an Achilles, though, and it wasn't.
It wasn't. That is the one positive there. But, yes, I liked A.D. Mitchell when he was on the Colts, but he just never was getting opportunities, and then he drops the ball at the one, and he's just banished to the doghouse. This is a Jets team that needs playmakers. A.D. Mitchell can run a full route tree, but he was just assigned to going deep when you were specifically looking at him inside that Colts offense. Now in the Jets offense, you're seeing him get to run a full route tree, and all of a sudden, he's the favorite target. Tyrod Taylor, again, the prop is way too low. You can get 80-plus at plus 350, Patrick. I think A.D. Mitchell is one of those guys that I'm willing to take a ladder on because the upside is there. Went for 100 last week, and the targets are going to be there.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that, donkey. Long December. Underrated Counting Crows, Bob.
Counting Crows, underrated, period.
Tremendous.
Period. Especially the early stuff. They got a little too pop culture late.
I interviewed Duritz once, the lead singer.
Not
and
surprised.
And he was not in a good mood. He was very crestfallen.
When has he been in a good mood? Have you listened to these songs?
I'll tell you when. Somehow we started talking about college football, and I said, how about the SEC? How about the girls down there? He lit up like a Christmas tree. Duritz was into it.
That is a man who enjoyed touring. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Tennessee, 125. Tennessee's at Cleveland. It's up to 3.5, 4. DraftKings is actually 4.5 with Cleveland. Nothing.
Yeah, look, it's under a pass for me here, and this total is disgustingly low, 33.5 the last time I looked at it. We are going to have temps right around freezing, 10 to 15 miles per hour winds. There's going to be snow showers in the area. All of those alone may not be that big of a factor. You combine them all for offenses that just honestly cannot throw the football. It is pretty tough for me to want to get behind either of the sides here, and specifically the offenses here. So if you want to go full degen and fire on every game, I like the under, but I'm going to be passing this one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Pittsburgh. Wow, the Tomlin conversation is getting wild.
Send him to Penn State.
It's pretty obvious this is the last. I mean, it's 19 years, and it'll come to an end after this season. It's just untenable right now. Even Roethlisberger's like, yeah, he's got to go. Pittsburgh's at Baltimore. It's so stale. Aaron, just retire. Nobody cares. You're annoying. Baltimore's 5.5 here, Samich.
Yeah, I mean, it's never Baltimore. It's hard for me to bet Pittsburgh, though. I mean, this is one of those, I was talking about it last night on VSiN Primetime with Matt Brown, and like you go through this game, people are either betting Baltimore or betting Pittsburgh based on their Baltimore rating. Feels like everyone kind of has Pittsburgh right. in the same level. If the question is, what do you feel about this Baltimore team and specifically this Baltimore offense, which has looked nothing like the like it's like itself all season long. You've got Lamar, who's playing well below the MVP levels we've seen in the past, but that's all due to injury. He just is not very frisky when he's in the pocket, when he gets out of the pocket, not able to extend plays. And then all of a sudden, you see the limitations they have at the skill positions. Look, Zay Flowers, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's not a number one in a offense where the quarterback cannot run around. And it's also affecting Derrick Henry's running ability as well. It would be Steelers or pass for me. I haven't gotten to the window because I don't like this Steelers team at all. But I can't justify laying over a field goal of Baltimore against a team with a pulse.
Yeah, two pretty stale teams that I'm not interested in. John Harbaugh kind of getting stale as well, speaking of Tomlin. I'm not interested in betting that game. Seattle, 129, is at Atlanta. Speaking of head coaches, there is literally 0% chance that Raheem Morris is coaching the Falcons next year. Literally zero.
Find someone who loves you like Patrick loves Raheem Morris, and you'll be happy in life.
Are you pretending he's a good head coach?
No, he's terrible. I like bad head coaches. They're predictable. You know they're going to be
dogs. Betting.
Yeah.
Well, here's a number. If you like Seattle, you can find a 6.5. If you like Atlanta, you can find a 7.
This is a
teaser.
It's a teaser. It's not the long area, but I still don't mind taking it down from 6.5 to 2.5. If you want to just adjust your little slider there on whatever book you're using and then find a team to pair it up where you don't need the full 6 to move around, you can get a little bit better price on that. This comes down to what you make of this Seattle offense, which has been underwhelming the last 2 weeks, to say the least. I still believe in this version of the Seattle offense, specifically in the regular season. I don't love this Atlanta defense, and I do very much love this Seattle defense. It's 6.5 at Seattle or pass for me. I'm going to have a lot of bets coming later. This is not one of them, though.
They very much need, not like it's not crazy to say about any team, but they really need a kind of a consistent run game to come off of. For they have so much talent outside for Darnold, but they need to run the ball well, mm-hmm. Seattle.
Yeah,
the defense is great.
They really need Kenneth Walker to wake up, to go back to that rookie year form that we saw when he was able to bust big plays and when he was able to make it happen for that offense. Because if you actually inserted a legitimate running game and that allowed you to be able to look for Shaheed Deep, who has been atrocious since joining the Seattle Seahawks so far, it frees up JSN to be able to run those intermediate deep routes and you don't have those safeties way back. It would make a very big difference here for the Seattle offense. I don't think Atlanta with Kirk Cousins can move the ball consistently against this defense. To me, that's really what this comes down to. And if that's the case, I'm leaning toward the Seattle side, but I agree with you. Good teaser leg if you want to play it.
131 is Indy at Jacksonville, a division game. Big game for both. It is 1.5 Indy lane on the road.
Yeah, monster game, especially for Indy here. Because if they have a tougher schedule to close out.
Their schedule is tough.
Yep, they still have Jacksonville again. They still have Houston one more time. If they lose this game, all of a sudden it's not just the division that's in question. It's the playoffs that is in question for an Indianapolis team that was as good as anybody right out of the gate. A big thing here is what you expect from Daniel Jones. We know he's playing with a broken leg, which sounds crazy to just even say, but it is happening out there. And it's funny because you saw the success rate, you saw the points per drive dip with this Colts team, and you're like, okay, well, why? And then we found out why with the injury. You can literally point back to when it happened and then see the dip that we've seen in production here. The Sauce Gardner injury matters because you're losing your cornerback there who you brought in because you had deficiencies in the secondary. The Jacoby Myers pickup for Jacksonville, not getting discussed enough. He is now, if you go back and you look at the routes run percentage over the first four games, it was 44% in the first game, all the way up to 92% last week. He is the number one wide receiver masquerading around as a number two. I like Jacoby Myers over props in this spot. It's Jacksonville or pass for me. I'm not a big Trevor Lawrence guy. I've openly talked about how much I don't like Trevor Lawrence. And yet, I cannot back this Colts offense when it looks like they're going to be forced to be one-dimensional with this running game and Jonathan Taylor and a Jags defense that was very, very beneficial from a turnover perspective early has been playing at a very high level without getting turnovers the last few weeks. So Jags are passed for me. Another teaser leg I like if you want to take it up to 7.5 or 8.
Neither of us like Jacksonville.
No.
This is a great spot for them.
Yep. Yeah.
I love the fact that Cohen can just say we're dogs at home. I love everything about this spot for Jacksonville, and I genuinely don't like the team. I'll take the 2, which you can find. New Orleans, 135 is at Tampa. Starting to get into a spot where every game's big for Tampa right now. New Orleans is catching 8.5, so Tampa Bay laying 8.5 here.
Yeah, I sound like a broken record, but there's another spot where I think teaser plays make a lot of sense here. This is a Tampa team that's starting to get healthy at the right time. We saw Bucky Irving getting reinserted to the lineup last week. Godwin in his third game back looked a lot better for this offense. Now you've got McMillan, you've got Mike Evans, who are both going to be playing here in the next couple weeks, if not this week, so we have to keep an eye on them and what their status is going to be. But it's an offense that's starting to get right. The offensive line's starting to look better as well. Baker's still banged up, but he's getting the pieces back to make him more effective. And specifically, Evans and McMillan matter because Evans and McMillan are the man beaters in this offense. Right now, Ibuka, who like looks good. Yeah, look, don't give me that face. It's, you know what I mean. And against man defenses, Evans is the guy that you want to go to. Godwin's been the one who's been cutting up zones. And so getting Evans back, I think, covers up a deficiency we've seen here in this Buccaneers offense. You flip over to the Saints side. They've been frisky, but they don't ever really cover. Like last week was one of the first weeks we saw them be able to cover one of those spreads against the Dolphins. And that was a game was an absolute mess. And they were didn't look like they were going to cover for the majority of the second half as well. It's Bucks or pass. It's a Bucks teaser pass. I probably end up with just the teaser leg.
Man eater Hall and Oates slaps.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You look like you again.
Now I'm Hall and Oates.
No, you look like you could be a Hall. You put you in a little cowboy outfit, man. You got it going. I'm just saying.
So I went from
today.
A DJ to a cowboy.
But look, you could live in Silver Lake or Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you'd be just fine.
yeah. Me and Costner with the cowboy hats and Dion. I got nothing on that one. Let's go Cincinnati at Buffalo. Buffalo's 5.5. I love Cincinnati in this spot. Love them. Buffalo stinks.
I want to play the over, but it's so big. I don't know if I can get there. And now we're worried about weather in this game as well. It looks like we're going to have snow. Looks like the temperature is going to be in the 20s. I do think you're going to see offensive advantages. One thing people talk about a lot is like these weather games, you don't see points. Snow is actually good for the offense. We've talked about this before. You played snow football up there in Detroit. You know where you're going when you're running a route. You have no clue where you're going when you're trying to defend one. It makes it easier for receivers to be able to get open because the defensive back much more likely to slip than the wide receiver in a lot of these positions. I like James Cook props over here. This is a Cincy defense has not been able to stop the run and a Buffalo team that really is relying on the run because the wide receiver room is an absolute mess there in Buffalo right now. So I'll take James Cook rushing yards over in this spot. I lean the over in the game. I lean the Bengals, but haven't bet either of them.
You know, it was often said like, oh, Burrow, but he's got such great wide receivers. That is just such a stupid. He is so good. It's insane. He is such a good quarterback.
He does have good wide receivers, too. Both can be true. Both can be true.
He's great. I love Cincinnati.
Burrow or Allen, if you're starting a franchise, who are you taking?
That's a great question. I guess you have to take Allen because, I don't know, I love Burrow. I'm a little bit in the bag for Burrow.
Drake May or Burrow, who you take to start a franchise?
I like Burrow.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah, you're hiring Burrow.
I do like May a lot. I think we have to pump the brakes a tad, but he's pretty spectacular. I like his ability to throw the deep ball.
He's faced a tough schedule, Patrick. Very tough schedule for those Patriots this year.
You know, you bring up Allen, kind of the inverse would be just the accuracy from May so early. I mean, he's so accurate.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good question. I think the question there would be the quarterback down in Washington or May, because maybe
Daniels?
I love Daniel.
Oh, you're crazy.
The injuries, obviously, because May is just this prototype as far as the build.
Yeah.
I love Daniels.
My problem with quarterbacks that rely on their run, the run game. Not saying that like
Daniel's a great passer.
He is a great passer. But like outside of Lamar, MVP level quarterbacks that are run focused or a big part of their game is to be able to scramble around and extend plays, there's just not that many of them. There's only a few if you go back through history, and I just get concerned that the first thing that's going to go between your legs and your
arm is
your legs. So the longevity to me is a little bit of an issue. So I would always lean toward the guys that are pocket first with the ability to run, like Elway, like May, versus a guy who is run first with the ability to throw. And it's not fair to even say like Daniels or Lamar's run first, but it's a big part of their game to be able to open up throwing lanes.
Yeah, it might be. I might be selling him a little short.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Next up, Denver is at Vegas. You'd have to really think hard to think of a team that has quit this much in an NFL season like Vegas has. They've quit, and it's 7.5 with Denver laying at Vegas.
I'm going to lay it here as well, which is like, again, I know I'm taking some dogs, but we're just going through all the games where I like the, I guess I did take the Jets early on, but this is one of those spots.
How about
a
tease?
Yeah, I think teaser is definitely in play here. This game is in Las Vegas. It's going to be a 50-50 crowd. A lot of people from Denver coming into this game, so I don't think you have a big home field advantage. We have seen the Raiders quarterback, Geno Smith, get sacked 10 times in a game, get sacked 5 times in a game. Now he faces the best rush in the NFL. This pass rush is going to eat up Geno Smith alive. Ashton Gentry is not going to have anywhere to be able to run the football. If Aiden O'Connell is out there, I don't think that makes a big difference either. Go ahead. I will lay it with the Broncos, and I will also play them in teasers. I think this is a spot where the Broncos defense specifically just smashes this Raiders offense.
Better defense, Houston or Denver?
Houston.
I would agree.
The totality of the secondary is better in Houston.
I think Stingley's just as good as Surtain.
Yes, I Moss is a weak spot at CB2. He's not bad, but compared to Houston's secondary, he's a weak spot at CB2. And the safeties for Houston have really gotten a lot better, specifically Petrie, able to come down in the box, rove around, stop the run. I like that Houston defense a lot.
Next up is Chicago at Green Bay. And Green Bay is 6.5 mostly everywhere.
This is a question of how you feel about Chicago, Patrick. I know Ben Johnson's your boy. I know you love him. I know that he's been able to scheme up this run game. Last week, it looked like last year's Lions team running all over the Eagles there, both running backs going for 100 yards. I'm not quite ready to buy in. This is the first real test we're going to see for Caleb Williams. The Packers' run defense has been very good. They understand how to scheme against Ben Johnson. They've been seeing him twice a year inside of the division. I think this is a Packers' run defense that slows down the Bears' run and forces them to throw the football. I don't know if Caleb Williams is ready for that moment. I also have some rejuvenated Packers love inside of me because of what we saw against the Lions last week. This is a Packers team that when they show up, when they play 60, they are one of the best teams in the NFL. I think we get that 60-minute performance here from the Packers against the Bears. I'll lay the 6.5.
Yeah, I'll take the 7, which you can find with Samich's Bears there.
Unbelievable. Two head-to-heads?
The Bears run the football better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
What you talked about as far as the Jacksonville early takeaways, the Bears take it away more than anybody in the league.
Yeah, see, that's my biggest issue with this Bears defense. They are elite at the takeaway spot, and they're elite on third down defense. Two of the most volatile defensive stats. You're going to see fluctuation in them. Small sample size, yes, they are elite in this 11-game, 12-game sample size. Now, the NFL season, let's be honest, is a small sample size, right? 17 games isn't a huge amount of sample. But at some point, you do expect regression back toward the mean in those specific stats. And to me, that means that you only can dance through the raindrops so many times before it comes back to catch you. This is a Packers offense that can be effective through the air. They're effective on the ground. The weak spot for this Bears defense is stopping the run. I think Jacobs has an opportunity to have a big game, and you've got big play wide receivers when they're open. I think this Packers offense is able to move the football consistently against the Bears defense. I'm not sure it's the same on the other side.
Allowing Ben Johnson. Listen, you can't fire a coach after 15 wins. You should have fired a coach after 15 wins. Allowing Ben Johnson to leave the state of Michigan will end up just being, I mean, he's going to win Super Bowls. Outside of McVay, I'd start a franchise with. There's no other coach I'd start a franchise with right now than Ben Johnson.
You find someone who loves Ben Johnson. Like, loves you like Patrick loves Ben Johnson.
You don't like geniuses?
Did you rip your shirt off on Friday too, right after that game ended?
Do you like geniuses?
Of course I yeah, like geniuses.
You like a guy that you just know if you plug him in, you're going to have the best offense in football?
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't know if Ben Johnson would be second.
1, 2, 3, if you were starting a franchise right now with a head coach, everybody would say McVay.
Yeah,
anybody that doesn't say McVay, sorry, you're clueless.
You're wrong. Yeah, McVay is one. I can't even believe I'm about to say this. Mike McDonald would be up there for me.
I like McDonald. He might be three for me.
I think he has to be in consideration. I agree with you. Ben Johnson's probably in consideration. Kyle Shanahan has to be somewhere in consideration as well.
I'm not a big Shanahan.
I mean, you got to go. You got to love your boy, right?
No. No, you don't. But you'll bite off kneecaps and run through walls.
No, dude, he is.
No, I want cerebral nerds that relate to players.
So, Mike, you're going back to Mike McDaniel. That's where we're going here? He's a cerebral nerd.
For me, honestly, it would be one McVay, two Johnson. And you're right. McDonald might be three.
Yeah,
if I'm starting a franchise today.
I believe in Ben Johnson long term. I'm just not sure I believe in the current returns considering the quarterbacks the Bears have faced this season. And I don't fully trust the defense. I still don't trust Caleb Williams. I'm not ready for him to go on the road and win a big division tilt.
Here's how you measure a coach. It's should they be sitting atop the NFC? No. This is not the most talented team in the NFC.
Will they be at the end of the season?
No, their schedule is not easy.
No, this is actually the meat of their schedule. They got the Packers twice. This is a tough run here for the Bears. Although I thought last Friday was going to be a tough game for them, but the dysfunction in Philadelphia won out.
139 is the Rams at Arizona, and the Rams are pretty heavy here. It's the same thing as what we talked about last week with them laying a huge number. I was like, I don't even like Carolina, but you can't lay 10, 9.5. I can't lay 8, 8.5 with the Rams.
Yeah, it's tough to lay it here. If you want to tease it, I think this is another one that kind of falls in that teaser bucket. I like the over in this game. I'm going to keep banging the Cardinals over drum. We're sitting at 47.5 right now. This Rams offense is going to be able to put up numbers here, and you flip it around. I believe in this Cardinals offense. Last week, the Cardinals should have gone over against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was a game where you had multiple missed opportunities on longer drives. You had certain drives that stalled right around the 45-yard line that turned into punts. I think this one goes over. So give me the over 47.5 here, Rams-Cardinals. I do think you can tease the Rams down if you want to, but this is a great teaser week. There's other options on the board that are better in my mind.
Houston's at Kansas City. Obviously a must-win for Kansas City. Kind of a must-win for Houston? A little bit?
I think so.
It's Kansas City 3, 3.5. If you like Kansas City, you might be able to find a three. You can. And if you like Houston, you can find the hook.
I'm going to go ahead and take the 3.5 with Houston here.
Me too.
This is a phenomenal setup here for this Houston defense. You've got Josh Simmons, the left tackle, entering the IR. You basically have Creed Humphreys and nobody else on this offensive line here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And in comes a dominant pass rush that gets home with four. When we have seen Mahomes struggle, it has been when you have a dominant front four that does not need to blitz. See the Super Bowl against the Eagles, the Super Bowl against the Bucs, see the Denver Broncos. This is the situation where you do not want to be if you're Patrick Mahomes. You're going to have Anderson and you're going to have Hunter coming off the edge. They're going to both have the opportunity to have a big game here. You have pressure up the middle. You've got Stingley to put on Rice. This is a defense that matches up phenomenally well with this Chiefs offense. And you flip it around, I actually like what this Houston offense has been doing the last few weeks. It feels like Davis Mills came in and kind of gave the blueprint to CJ Stroud, who is a more talented quarterback, of what to do with a bad offensive line. Get it out fast. Spread it around, quick passes, move the football quickly out of your hands so that offensive line does not become as big of a hindrance. We saw the two rookies, Higgins and Hutchinson, out there be able to get theirs. They both go for 100 yards combined total receiving yards last week. You add that to what Collins was able to do. You've got Schultz. Marks is starting to give you a little juice. I like this Houston offense. I think this is a dangerous football team if they're able to get into the playoffs. I like them on the money line this weekend. I'll take the 3.5 and the money line.
Yeah. The 3.5 is a gift, and I think they win the game, Houston. Monday night, Samich is Philly at the Chargers. Philly's laying 2.5. I'll take the Chargers.
Really? A third head-to-head? Give me the Eagles.
I think Philly. 2 years ago, we saw it. Lost like 9 of 10 down the stretch. That is the most miserable organization possible.
It is pretty wild that you can win that much and be so depressed.
Like, they need some antidepressants.
Everyone talks about how winning fixes everything. Tell that to the Philadelphia Eagles, because it has not fixed anything there for them. Culmination, obviously, last week against the Bears. They can't run the football, Patrick. That has been a huge issue for this Eagles team. But I'm going to trust the defense here for the Eagles, taking on a Chargers offense that is missing, again, key pieces on the offensive line. This is one of the bottom five, bottom six offensive lines in the NFL. This is the spot where the Eagles defense should be okay, should be able to get pressure consistently on Herbert and do enough on the offensive side to be able to win. I like the under. You can get that right now at 42 in some places. And I like the Eagles laying the 2.5. This wouldn't have been a bet for me at 3, but at 2.5, it gets on the card.
Growing up in Michigan, I would get like seasonal depression because it would just be gray and cold. It gets dark at like 2 p.m. That's the vibe with Philly. They need to go on an ayahuasca retreat together and like become a brotherhood.
So,
by the way, anybody that people talking about Barkley, he so emptied the tank last year. It's hilarious that when people say he's like the modern day Barry Sanders. No, he's good, and he had a great year. But he's not very good.
Hey, just don't talk crap about any old Detroit Lions, and you'll be fine. And around Patrick, that's all we need to know, right? Barry Sanders, that's your hero, right? Number one sports hero.
With
a bullet.
He should be everybody's hero.
He did make Thanksgiving more interesting when that team was terrible, because at least you'd want to watch and see him break one of his crazy long runs where he's running backwards for 5 seconds before he actually goes forward. What do you do with Hurts? Is he the answer in Philly? Do you bring in Aaron Rodgers so he can take everyone on ayahuasca? Because that would fix this, right?
What do I do with Hurts? You know, he does seem to, his person, for whatever reason, and he's very medium all the time. He's kind of like you. He's very just like, when's the last time you ever got mad?
Like really, like yelled mad?
Yeah, you've never yelled.
About 2 months ago.
Thanksgiving, I think.
No, I didn't yell on Thanksgiving. There was no yelling.
You wanted to.
There was no yelling.
I don't know. There's such differing opinions on Hurts. He's very effective. He was great in the Super Bowl. He was great in the postseason last year. It's a conundrum.
Well, that's the funny thing. When you go back and you say, okay, what are Hurts' best games in his career? The Super Bowl loss to Kansas City. The Super Bowl win against Kansas City.
It was great.
He was phenomenal in those two football games. Absolutely. It's like, did things I didn't think Jalen Hurts could do. But then you watch him during the regular season, you're like, he's not very good. Like, he's just not a good quarterback. You have all the talent in the world on the outside. They can't distribute the ball to him. You already have this internal fighting where people are coming out and saying it's Hurts. It's not the OC. That's the issue. But he's won a Super Bowl with you. This is one of the more polarizing guys, too, because like if you talk to Philadelphia media or Eagles fans, he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. You talk to most people in the general media or the sports betting side, he's somewhere between 10 and 15. And so it's difficult to decide exactly what you expect from him on a week-to-week basis, but he has showed up in those super big moments.
I take so many calls from people in Philly that say, why isn't he in the MVP conversation? That like you're right. There is such a juxtaposition as far as opinion.
It's the rosy-colored glasses, which is odd for Philadelphia fans, but I think it's because you have the Super Bowl. That's why you're willing to put on those glasses with him. Imagine if he had lost that Super Bowl, if he hadn't played well against the Chiefs. He'd be run out of town right now.
Yeah, no, they're 3-and-out. It's just it's a bad football team right now, Philly. Dallas and Detroit, so we end here. I think it's one of the biggest games in the history of the franchise for Detroit. And here's one thing. It's 3.5. What scares me, I like Dallas here. What scares me is I haven't heard one person say they like the Lions in this game. Not as far as the number. Everybody's got Dallas winning outright.
Yeah, that's the scary part here, right? Because the public dog is one of the worst things that you can bet historically in the NFL, is that when the public loves a dog, that dog loses, and loses very badly. I can't get around Dallas in this one. The Dallas Cowboys have the number one run defense in the NFL since week 9, Patrick. The Detroit Lions, when they do not combine for 100 yards rushing between Gibbs and Montgomery, are 0-5 on this season. If they can't get the running game going, and Amon-Ra St. Brown ain't going to play, let me tell you right now, that is the most rosy-colored questionable I've
and
ever
if he
seen
does,
in my
he's
life.
A decoy.
I mean, you're not getting anywhere close to 80% if he ends up going. So it's the Jameson Williams show, and it's the running game show, because you're also missing Brock Wright, who people roll their eyes and say doesn't matter. He matters for the run game, just like Laporta mattered for the run game as well as the passing game for this Lions team. I don't see the world where the Lions can keep up with the Cowboys tonight. This Cowboys offense is a top four offense in the NFL, and this Cowboys defense, which was a laughingstock, bottom five defense early in the season, has now found its way right around the middle. And right around the middle is fine when your offense is that good. I like the Cowboys quite a bit, plus the 3.5. I played them on the money line as well. You want to hear the crazy take?
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys 70-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Let's go.
I sprinkle, Patrick.
Jimmy Eat World, the middle slaps.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World, he's good. Like, I like that. It was MLB The Show 2007, 2006, something like that. He featured song on that game.
Let's go.
A lot of that game when I was living in Vegas.
No Kirby Joseph, the safety. Brian Branch is banged up. Terrion Arnold's done for the year. Laporte is out. The offensive line, every single one of them is questionable. Now, they're going to play, but it lets you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a, you know, bad to awful quarterback playing. Jerkoff. I've never been so right about many things in life, but one thing, like people saying like Jared Goff's good is like the funniest thing to me. It's like, Dallas wins. It's a winner.
It's going to be crazy watching this football game.
And you know what else, Mike? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but no, it's like, ahead. and you hate to say it about such a tragedy, but there's obviously been a galvanization, unfortunately, with the tragic passing of that young man, where there are just, it's this trajectory. There's a team that has a good feel about it.
Yeah, it does. It feels like it's a Cowboys team that is playing together, that heard all of the outside noise about how Jerry Jones is absolutely off his rocker. And I'm going to be honest, I think that the moves that he made are absolutely crazy long term, but you cannot argue made the defense better right now,
yep.
Right? And so, like, you have to take the emotion out of it, as we discussed earlier. Look at this from a cerebral perspective, just what's above the neck here. They're a very good run-stop unit now, okay? They would love a pass rusher. I'm sure they'd love to have Parsons back, but part of the reason they're a very good run-stop unit is because of who they brought in that trade.
Yeah.
And so you sit there, and do I love the fact they gave draft picks up to New York? No, I don't.
Yeah, but Quinnen Williams is awesome.
But right now, it kind of helps. And if you look at what Goff really struggles with, it's when there's pressure up the middle.
Up the middle.
And here we go with two D tackles that can both rush the passer up the middle against a Lions offensive line, like you said. We're expecting all five starters.
Yep.
I don't expect all five starters to finish this game. Like, the likelihood
Decker's
all
banged up, Sewell's banged up, they're all banged up. Ragnow didn't pass his physical. He's not playing this year.
So it just doesn't look like this is a great spot here for Detroit. We'll see what Dan Campbell can do, if he's able to coach the boys up, get him able to run through walls. Can I give you a prop I like here?
Gibbs combined over whatever the number is?
No, this is a little different. Okay. Field goals. All right. Longest field goal made, Dallas Cowboys -105. Two reasons here. First off, Brandon Aubrey can make it from the moon. He can kick from ever, right? Mm-hmm. What does Dan Campbell like to do since he took over play calling?
Go for it on fourth down.
Go for it on fourth down. What happens when you go for it on fourth down, Patrick?
You don't kick field goals?
You don't kick field goals. Aubrey
that was a trick question.
It was. Hey, come on. Aubrey has tried more field goals from 50 than Bates has made from 40 plus.
Bates is a donk.
Like, give me Aubrey or Dallas, whichever one you can find in your
book. I like that.
Longest field goal made -105 for tonight's game. He's more likely to kick a field goal, period. And he's also more likely to kick a longer field goal.
This game is really weird because I would be genuinely surprised if the Lions won tonight and they're 3.5-point favorites.
You are just really laying it on here.
Do you think I'm crazy?
Shtick? Is this shtick?
Oh, no. The team is banged up. It is, and Campbell's overwhelmed with the play calling duties. And people love the defensive coordinator. They lack such creativity defensively. And Hutchinson stinks. Like, it's a mess. I'm bummed. I'm bummed.
It is a mess. Like, you're dead on. It is an absolute mess. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, do I want to play yardage for Prescott or do I want to play like Pickens over his receiving yard total? It's like, what props can I find in the passing game to attack this Detroit secondary, which is in shambles with a bad defensive coordinator, with a pass rush that only had two quarterback hits last week on Jordan Love? Kudos to Dan Campbell if he can figure out how to turn this around in a week, right? Because this was a mess last week. It's been a mess for a couple weeks now. And you have one of, if not the hottest team in the NFL coming in with a scorching hot offense and a defense that looks like it is absolutely inspired. I'm not going to say I'd be surprised if the Lions win.
I would be.
But my bank account will be unhappy if it goes that direction.
Dak should be right there with Stafford in May as the MVP.
It's funny you mentioned that. I wanted to bring up the MVP conversation with you. Because there are a couple guys outside of the top tier dudes that are getting some, are not getting as much love as I think they should. Drake May, minus 135 right now in DraftKings. Stafford, plus 125. Drake May still has Buffalo, still has Baltimore. I think that he's got a couple spots where if he loses either of those games, you're going to see his candidacy drop quite a bit. If you look at Stafford, he's still got Seattle left. If he loses the Seattle game, I think that's going to drop Stafford's candidacy quite a bit. Dak Prescott, 14-1. I think he's a little interesting.
Very.
You want to know the crazy one?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, 90-1. If they rip off the last five, he is 100% getting credit for it and 100% in this conversation, especially if you see a drop-off on either Drake May or Matthew Stafford's side. 90-1 means he needs to win this 1.1% of the time and you're profitable. So I realize it's a ridiculous price, but I don't think you can necessarily overlook Mahomes in the market because there is a path where he ends up getting this award despite how this season's gone.
Newsletter, vsin.com/newsletter. It's completely free, no obligation. Just enter your email address, everything you need, your betting menu every morning from Bill AD. That's it for Sharp Money. Anything else on the way out?
Yeah, you gotta talk about what we're doing over at First Bet this weekend, too.
Let's go.
You got a great contest.
You can compete against Samo.
Got to try and beat this guy right here. You got to beat me. It's a Beat Samish contest here. Head over to first.com/VSIN. The contest is live. No cost to enter. You got to pick five horse races. There are four graded stakes at Aqueduct on Saturday. The H. Allen Jerkins Handicap at Gulfstream Park. Pick all five of those races. One horse. Whoever has the higher bankroll at the end of the day, if you beat me, you get to split $5,000 with everyone else who beat me as well.
Awesome.
If you want to listen to preps for all five of those races, check out VSiN at the track. All you have to do is have a First Bet account. Make sure you sign up using promo code VSiN250 if you don't have one. You can get the sign-up bonus as well. Still eligible to play both with the sign-up bonus as well as enter the contest. First.com/VSiN for the Beat Mike Samich contest this Saturday. $5,000 for free on the line.
And you can cheat. Download Samich's podcast with Halterman, VSiN at the track, wherever you find your podcast, and kind of get some inside knowledge to beat the donkey.
I specifically said what horses I like on top that I will not be using in the contest.
Ooh, you hoodwinked.
The contest and betting to win, two totally different things. You got five contest races, and your goal is to put up the highest bankroll. Picking all five favorites is the worst possible strategy. Because if you go in and you take all the five favorites, and you go 4 for 5, if I bop 115-1 shot, I beat you by margin. So it's taking chances on prices that are likely to be able to win or place. That is the better strategy than picking the favorites in tournaments.
Get over to First Bet. I'm going to be competing. Be a man beater. Beat Samich.
Bring it.
We'll see you on Sunday night. Sharp Money.